Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, this is Tommy Crash from Leviathan Project, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Hey guys, before we get into today's episode, let's thank the people who make this episode possible. They are the people on Patreon who are supporting me with a pledge of $2 a month or more. The $2 a month gets you a bonus podcast every week. If you do $5 a month, I will mail you out a Talking Metal t-shirt. People are anywhere from $2 to $50 a month, and I appreciate that support on Patreon. Big shout out to Miss Metal Dan. Of course, Metal Dan, one of our longest running Patreon supporters. Now we've been joined by the Mrs. Mrs. Metal Dan. Welcome to the club. Glad you're here, Mrs. Metal Dan. Sam Warwick, Kato Yogova, Adrian Cusick, Dane Damage, Madison Hatter, Seth B., Alan Janssen, Hank Reeves, John Simpson, Huckney Jacobson, John Barron, Ed Ferguson, Denny Striegel. It's my dad. I should know how to pronounce his name. Patrick Sabin, Jerry from Salt Lake City, Blue Walsh 21, Victor Guzman, Gene Eugene DX, Sean Richmond, Mario Charance, Andrew Miller, Jeremy Weltman, Chris Riley, Johan Erdestrom, Stephen Rodriguez, Tommy Anderson, Gregory Muse, Kenny McCrimmon, Leo from Alaska, Brad Dahl from Utah, Dan Gerwin, of course, my main man, Victor M. Ruiz, Jerry from Long Island, Sam Soupy, Drake, Matt Carroll, Joe Ryan, Jason Seth, Stephen Saylor, Ron Keel, Jean-Francois Blas, Anthony Mackey, James Bennett, David Gray, Fred Rutz, Michael Street, Mike Jones, Steve Hoker, John Bouvoiri, Metal Dan, and then there's a couple of you guys who your card has been declined, so I'm going to leave you off the laundry list today, but one of you I just mailed a t-shirt to, and the card has never gone through, so I'm hoping it gets fixed. Anyways, let's get into this episode of the Talking Metal Podcast. All right, guys, I think this is episode 940. The episode numbers seem to have gotten messed up a number of episodes ago. It actually may be 941. Let's just say it's 940, okay? That's where we're at, 940. All right, guys. So one thing I used to love to do is turn you guys on to unknown artists and play some of their music, which a little interview, a little music, but of course we can't play music anymore, which just sucks. It still pisses me off to this day. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is listen to these guys and the music they have. Or if we're going to hear from drummer Tom Wallace, and he's going to tell us all about what he's up to. We'll have links to that in the show notes. And we're going to hear from Tommy Crash, the guitar player, known for his work with Brittany Fox, but he's also now doing some very different sounding music, at least from Brittany Fox, with Tim Ripper Owens, among some other really cool stuff. So I'm going to have links to that in the show notes, and it's kind of up to you guys to go listen to it. I know it's an extra step. I know it's a pain in the butt, but that's where we're at here in 2021 with podcasts. We cannot risk playing music on the show anymore. And believe me, don't get me started on that. So without further ado, let's get into my interview with guitarist Tommy Crash.
Hey
Hey, it's Mark Strigo of Talking Metal, and we are joined for, I believe, the first time by Tommy Crash. Tommy, I feel like we were talking a couple of years ago, and for some reason, the interview never happened. So if I dropped the ball on that, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, it was probably me of trying to do everything myself and not dealing with a third party to make it happen for me. And I just, typical musician, I lose track of stuff. So
right on. Well, we have you here now, and you have some great music going on, some very different music from what I can tell, at least what my ears are telling me. Let's start with Infinity Rain. I do want to get into your history and the other project, but let's start there. Can you tell us about this project and how it came about?
Yeah, absolutely. Infinity Rain is kind of tied to a lot of stuff that I've done. It's tied to the Leviathan project, which features Ripper Owens and Bobby Coble, who was in Death. It also has roots from the time I played with Brittany Fox because of some of the members. But Infinity Rain is basically an AOR project, you know, music that has, you know, hooks, a little bit of keyboard, some shred and guitar in the vein of Journey, REO Speedwagon at times, those old bands. And, you know, in one of the songs, for instance, I got Reggie Wu from Heaven's Edge played a guitar solo on it. So it's got awesome. The heavier side, and it's also, you know, it's got the melodic side.
Right on. And it's funny you mentioned Reggie Wu. That was a band I used to go see at the Empire Rock Club back in, the late 80s in the Philadelphia area of Pennsylvania. Great, great band. But the Infinity Rain EP is out now, right? And how many songs? Right. Four songs, I think, is what I heard.
Yeah, it's four songs. And, you know, the business model of shopping or doing music anymore is, it doesn't really exist. There's no formula, you know? So we just put out the EP independently, you know, trying to do some interviews with people like yourself and get the word out, see what kind of buzz we can get, and then maybe look at some labels for it. Maybe not. I don't know.
Right. And to me, what I like about Infinity Rain, I mean, we've had some bands in the past that have done this style of music, but in a way it's kind of tongue in cheek. They're almost poking fun at it. The way this comes across to me, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is legitimate music. You guys are serious about playing it. You pay tribute to the greats that did it before you, but it's no joke, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely no joke. What's that metal band?
Steel Panther.
I just don't identify with that. I don't find any humor in the stuff that I grew up with and cherish and love. I find no humor in watching an old Survivor video.
If they're not,
I could see where some people might, but hell yeah, this is total serious. It's melody. It's, I think, real musicianship.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds great, by the way. You did a great
thank
job.
You.
Yeah. So is there a future with Infinity Rain, or is it kind of just a one-off, here's four songs and that's it? Or do you plan more?
Well, we have nine songs recorded. We have a couple tunes we're in the process of recording right now. I'm down in Orlando, Florida. The other guys are up in the South Jersey, Philly area. That's where I came from. That's where I used to live. So we're looking at doing maybe some small like encore shows, basically encore meaning not doing a full set, and just seeing what the reaction is to it, because we have two lead singers in the band. So I would love people to hear that live. But, you know, the logistics of it, the logistics that we have real jobs and lives at our age, it makes it difficult. But, I mean, why wouldn't we want to go out there and do it? You know, so that's the plan. I don't have a time frame, but initially I wanted to get the four songs out there and I guess see if people think it's viable, because I don't want to be playing for nobody.
Right. You mentioned two singers. Can you kind of go over some of the people who are involved in the project with you? You mentioned Reggie.
Yeah. Well, Reggie just did lead on one of the songs, because I'm a big fan of Heaven's Edge. I grew up in that area and I contacted him through a friend of a friend. But one of the singers in the band, his name is Nick Malera. He had a history in the Nashville session circuit for a while. I ran into Nick a long time ago when I was working on a Britney Fox acoustic record. And like a lot of things that happen, it just never got finished with the Britney guys. And I put a crap load of work into it, and I wanted to finish those songs. So I had Nick sing on those. So that's how I met Nick. He's got an awesome voice, and, you know, he loves this style of music. And then Matt Nardo, who's the other singer, he plays with me in Leviathan Project. Matt, at his core, is just a real AOR melodic guy. I met Matt through Dave Weekly, he's in Rough House and Tees, if you're familiar with them. Yes. They're from that whole South Jersey, Rough House, Philly area.
Yeah, not Tees, but Rough House, yeah.
Yeah. So I met Matt from that scene. We played together. And, you know, I'm good friends with Billy Childs, you know, from Britney Fox. And there's always talk every couple of years, if he's not playing with some of the original guys, of me calling him and saying, hey, do you want to do something with this? So, you know, since Nick sang on some of those Britney Fox songs, there was talk at one point of doing some shows with him as the, I guess he would have been the fourth lead singer of Britney Fox.
Right.
It never worked out. It's just all these harebrained ideas I have. And at one point I thought about last year, I talked to Billy about putting a version of Britney together and having Matt be the lead singer of Britney Fox, which, okay, I guess probably because it's maybe in hindsight, just a stupid idea. It never happened. Yeah. And I think this consensus with Britney Fox now is that they kind of either want to do it with pretty much all original members or not do it. But, okay, you know, the idea came to my head because, you know, Blackfoot goes out there and does it, Quiet Riot does, you know, the deal.
Yeah. The list is endless at this point, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite Warner, attractive. Yeah. If you own the brand name to a band and you want it, I mean, there's money on the table there. I mean, Britney Fox is not my brand name. I have nothing to do with it, but there's money on the table somewhere for the Britney Fox name and that shiny logo. You just have, right, to know what to do with it.
Right. And I do want to talk about Britney Fox and your actual history with them a little bit more. But before we do that, two things. Where in South Jersey are you from? Because I'm a Jersey guy myself. Cherry Hill area? Is that where you're?
Well, I worked in Cherry Hill for a long time at Kinko's on Route 70.
Okay.
But Washington Township, Deptford area is where I lived.
Oh, okay. Cool. Washington. So that's, yeah. I'm trying to think, that's like 78, going towards the Pennsylvania border.
Washington Township was right off the 42 Expressway, the Atlantic City Expressway.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking of the town of Washington. Right. Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. Are you from mid-Jersey or South Jersey?
Well, I lived in mid-Jersey in the Princeton area for a while. Now I'm like, okay, far north Jersey, right by,
okay,
Newark. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. So Leviathan Project with Ripper Owens. Let's talk about this. All this music is coming out this year, right? I mean, this stuff's all hitting this year. You have a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. Leviathan Project. We've already released two EPs through Deco Entertainment, and we have a full length CD that'll probably happen this fall.
Right on. Yeah. I just spoke with Jack Frost, who has a record coming out through Deco.
Right.
Too. Yeah. Brothers in Arms. So cool. And when did you first get to meet and know Ripper?
I wrote one song that was kind of had the tones or the sound in my head of like a mid-80s thrash, Testament, Flotsam and Jetsam. And I was just messing around with the song and I'm like, oh, this is sounding pretty good. I need a singer. So I talked to Chris Aiken, our mutual friend,
right,
one day. And I was just saying, hey man, I haven't really started looking yet, but you know, any like metal singers? And he's like, well, why don't you call Ripper? And I'm like, okay. I never really thought, he wasn't on my radar. Cause it's not that I'm not a fan. I just, you know how you have some artists that you never really, you haven't gotten into, you
right,
know, yet. But of course we, you know, everyone knows Tim and his history. So I sent the one song to him. He sang it. It sounded really good. Sounded nothing what I had in mind. I had in mind, like I said, more of like a Death Angel type singer or something like that.
Right.
And I had Bobby from the band Death. He used to be in Death. He played on, he's like an 80s shrapnel guitar player, very technical, Marty Friedman-ish. Some people, mm-hmm, compare him to. And I was like, man, this song sounds really good. And Matt helped me write Matt Nardo from Infinity Rain, he helped me write the melody and some of the lyrics. you know, for Ripper. And so we did another song. Sounded awesome. Sounded even better, we thought, in our mind. So we did another song. And then I contacted an old publicist friend of mine from years ago, Chip Ruggieri. And I said, hey, you know, what do you think of it? You know, you think there's any labels out there that might be interested? And it just kept on going from there.
Wow. Cool.
So Tim lives in Ohio. Outside of our musical collaboration, I couldn't tell you one thing about the guy. He seems like a nice guy. He seems like a nice guy. So.
Right on.
Yeah. It's, you know how it is.
Yeah, it's wild how that can be the case nowadays. You don't have to spend hours and hours in a room with somebody when you're making music. So it's interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, some of it from bands, it comes out good and some of it doesn't. I thought our Leviathan project worked really well. People ask me in interviews, would I want to work in a room with Ripper with Ripper and Bobby and Matt? Yeah, probably not. It'd probably mess up what we have going on.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Cool. And all that music is out now. Infinity Rain has 4 songs out. I saw on Apple Music. I'm sure they're on Spotify too.
Yeah.
Leviathan Project, the same deal. 2 EPs out of music from Leviathan Project.
And one of our EPs, let me just say, is on cassette. It's on cassette too.
Oh, cool. I saw on your Facebook page some people like holding up the cassette.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
And where could you get that? Where? From the Deco website?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. From Deco Entertainment. We got, you know, t-shirt and cassette bundle, or just the cassette, or you can just go on streaming and do it that way too.
I will link that through today's show notes in the podcasting app that you're listening to this to, guys. And your history, you mentioned Brittany Fox. You played with them for what, 2-3 years? Is that correct?
In 2007, I did a tour with them. They're one of my, growing up in South Jersey, they're one of my favorite bands. So an opportunity to go on tour and play with my favorite band was like, yeah, why not? Originally, I was just going to be the guy that did their graphics and kind of help their manager while they were on the road. But their original guitar player, Michael, he just didn't want to do that anymore. So they asked me to fill in. I did the best I can with it. I'm no Warren DeMartini. I'm a punk, shitty guitar player in the studio. I can make it sound good. So yeah, I went out there and did it. We tried working on an acoustic record and time just ran out. So I had those tracks forever floating around. So I put those out under my name and attached a Brittany Fox name to it. So my history is not, I mean, you know, I was a fill-in guitar player.
Right on. And what about your history before then? Like, can you tell us just a brief history of your history?
Yeah. I was just, I played in local bands like Bonnie's, the Galaxy, the Cell Block, stuff like that. You know, that's where, you know, Brittany Fox, Heaven's Edge, all those guys came from. I played in a band called Gunshy. We ended up re-releasing stuff on Paris Records. You know, we were just one of those regular bands that I think we were playing the clubs when Nirvana's first record came out.
Right.
So had we been a couple years later, like a million bands, maybe something would have happened. And, you know, Michael from Brittany Fox was kind of managing us and helping us out and got us in some magazines and stuff, but you know the story. It's pretty much, yeah.
Right on. Cool. And besides music, what else keeps you busy on a day-to-day basis?
Oh, being a school teacher. That's my real
job. Wow. Cool. What do you teach?
I teach high school students and I teach digital art.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good.
Very good. And let us know when you're up in New Jersey playing gigs or just hanging out. We'd love to hook up and listen to some music live or play us some music that you got going on. Anytime you're up here, please let us know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I appreciate that. And I thank you for the opportunity to let me talk about all this stuff.
Big thanks to Tommy Crash for joining me. We're now going to talk with Tom Wallace, who has just an all-star selection of guests on his new music that he's working on. He's going to tell us all about it. But people like Craig Goldie, one of my favorite guitar players, I think does some lead work for him. Tony
Franklin, a bassist that I interviewed him for like an hour once, like maybe 4 years ago. And I told him, listen, we got to do a part two because we only had gotten to about half of what he'd done. So I need to get Tony Franklin back on. And maybe when we do that, maybe I can talk to him about his work with Tom, among other people. A lot of really significant names involved with this. So let's let Tom tell us all about what he's up to and who he's playing with. And please do yourself a favor and check out this music.
Hey, it's Mark Striegel, and we are welcoming to the podcast a guy that I've spoken with on social media for, man, a number of years now, Tom Wallace. Tom, how are you, man?
Doing great, Mark. How are you? It's good to be here.
Yeah. Now, where did we first meet? Was it just on Facebook? Because I feel like I've had interactions with you going back like for at least a decade.
Yeah, I don't know about a decade. It certainly has been a number of years. I think 4 or 5 years ago, I sent you a CD.
Okay.
That I had worked on just because I knew you're sort of into that style of music and just, you know, sending a few out, see what people thought of it. And I think that's probably where it started.
Right on. And you, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are a drummer and you sent me some tracks that you're working on, which I want to get into. But let's talk about your history. When did you start playing drums?
I was probably about 15 years old. I wanted to play guitar, had a guitar and an amp for about 4 years, didn't have the self-discipline to sit there, you know, it didn't make any sense. E, A, D, G, B, E, open tuning. Why not A, B, C, D, E, F, you know, it didn't make any sense to me. And I was like, wow, this isn't working. And a buddy of mine who played bass in a band, we were sitting around in high school, I was tapping my fingers to a Black Sabbath song. And he goes, Tom, you've had a guitar and an amp for 4 years and can't play one damn song. You should try drums. And in 6 months, I joined his band playing drums.
Wow, really? So you just took to drums. It was more of a natural fit for you.
Yeah, it's my natural instrument. It's very interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting how that works. Because, I mean, we hear that about a lot of professional players, how they started with one instrument, but it wasn't until they moved over to the other instrument that they really found their way musically. I mean, I think even, didn't Eddie Van Halen even start as a drummer and then eventually became a guitar player, I think.
Yeah, I think they both probably had piano lessons. Their parents wanted to have like piano lessons. I think they moved on to other preferred instruments and then migrated even further from there, if I remember the story right.
Right on. Now, you sent me some tracks and I checked them out, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they are under the title Guild of Others. And you have some just incredible special guests on these tracks with you, which I want to hear about. But first, tell me about the backbone of this project, or is it a band?
So it's definitely a project, not an actual band. The guitar player, Steve Potts, and I had worked in a previous band. And then we'd gone our separate ways working in other stuff. And then the CD that I'd sent you a number of years ago, Billy Sherwood from Yes co-produced that. And while I was working with him, he said, hey, you know, in the future, when you have other projects, if you want me to call in some different people, you know, some named players, I'd be happy to do that. And I was, oh, okay, cool. You know, and then a couple of years passed and I was starting another project, and Billy was busy. So I was on the cruise to the edge and ran into, Derek Shrinian, and asked him if he'd want to be a part of it, and sort of just started asking people that I was interested in working with. And but it started, I guess I should go back a little bit. It started, the first person I talked to was Tony Martin from Black Sabbath. And that's what led me back to Steve Potts, the guitar player. Tony said he would be interested. And I thought, well, who do I know that writes really cool Sabbath style riffs and is also versatile enough to write other stuff? And Steve came to mind. And so we started writing and so on. That's really how it started.
Wow, cool. And again, we're talking with Tom Wallace of Guild of Others. Let's get into who the guest stars are, because one of my favorite guitar players, Craig Goldie, is on this project with you, but there's a lot of other great people too. But before we do that, where can people hear this music?
So we will have an official release date probably ready to tell everyone after this weekend. We have another phone call with the label Saturday, I believe is the date. And So it'd probably be Sunday or Monday. I'd be able to give an official release date, and then it'll be available, like, you know, through our website and that kind of stuff. We'll just branch out from there. All we have right now on hand are physical CDs. And probably this Saturday, we'll talk about how to set up a digital format, download, all that kind of stuff.
Cool. So I mentioned Craig Goldie, but there are some other great and impressive players on the project with you. You mentioned Derek Sherinian. Who else?
Tony Franklin. So Derek plays keys on every song. Tony plays bass on every song. Craig plays a solo on the song Veil of Insanity. And Michael Sadler from Saga sings one of the songs, Elysium. And Henrique from Darkwater sings the song Balance. And then a local friend, Mark Hammond, sings the other six songs on the album. I think that's most everyone there, all the players.
Right. And vocally, again, there being that there are some different singers, it is somewhat diverse vocally, but I like that. And I like what you're doing with the music itself too. It sounds great. And I think anybody who's into progressive, hard rock, heavy metal, this is definitely something you're going to want to check out. Guild of Others. Like, what other bands would you compare it to? I mean, obviously there's the Derek Sherinian connection with Sons of Apollo, Dream Theater. Where do you see this falling in as far as categories go?
Well, Derek had the perfect description of it, you know, and we put that in the bio. When he first heard the demos, he says it's aggressive and adventurous without being too proggy. And when he said that, I thought, wow, he really encapsulated it, because it's definitely not as, say, proggy as, like, my favorite album, Yes, Close to the Edge. It's not that proggy, and it's not as proggy as this, you know, Dream Theater or anything like that. Both bands I thoroughly love. But it's, you know, it's heavier, like, in the sense, not heavier, but more direct heavy, in the sense of, like, I would compare it to like maybe Rainbow Rising or something like that. You know, it's not super proggy, but Stargazer's got a lot of movement in it. And so when I think of stuff like that, or maybe aspects of earlier Queensryche or something, you know, and then again, some songs are straightforward. Some people have said, wow, that sounds like early Michael Schenker, you know, so,
right.
So it's kind of right in there.
Okay. Yeah. But definitely, I mean, you mentioned Rainbow Rising, but definitely a more contemporary, if you will, production and sound than you'd hear with that.
Yeah. I was talking
really retro and what, yeah.
Right. Stylistic and writing is what I was referring to. Definitely. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. And is there plans? Obviously we're still kind of coming out of COVID here, but we are seeing bands start to play live. Do you want to play this stuff live, or is this more a studio production?
Well, it would certainly be great to play it live, because there are a lot of guests and it's not a, you know, one solid band. It would have to involve everyone's schedules, or you know, certain replacement players, like if, you know, if Tony or Derek or someone wasn't available, is there someone else that could be available that, you know, could fill their shoes? There's a little bit of logistics around that, but it's not out of the question. We would just have to see what happens.
And where are you guys based?
Steve and I are in San Diego, California.
Right.
And, you know, Tony and Derek aren't terribly far from us. And we were able to actually go hang out with Derek for a while. Well, you know, a couple of times when he was doing some of the keys and sort of discuss what was happening and listen to his ideas and offer a few. And, but mostly when we invited those people like Tony and Derek, we just left everything to them because they're such great talents. You know, why get in the way?
Right. When you do have to offer direction, how does, like, an accomplished musician like that who has, you know, a name for themselves, how do they take direction from somebody when you're working with them?
Really well. I mean, again, there wasn't much. There were, like, just maybe a couple of small ideas, like, say, the song Memento. There were two patches in there, two areas, a few bars each, where Derek had done some really sort of just basic kind of piano, almost Elton John style stuff. And we told him, we said, hey, we left those parts open actually for you to solo over. Actually, we wanted you to kind of go a bit crazy. So I presumed he was going to do some killer synth stuff, you know, and like is on other parts of the album. But he put in these two sort of almost ragtime piano pieces instead. And so when he was doing that, Steve and I both just looked at each other like, hey man, let's stay out of the way. We were not expecting this, but this is cool. So sometimes there's a big surprise. And when you have an idea, be willing to listen to the other people's ideas anyway, because you never know what's going to happen.
Right on, right on. Cool. And is there a social media page or Twitter or Facebook page people can like and check out? Where's the best place to get in touch with Guild of Others online?
Right now, Facebook, we had sort of a page and a website sitting dormant, and some people found it and started liking it. So we thought, okay, you know, we're not going to pretend like nothing's happening here. So, but again, we won't really be actually promoting anything until we talk to the label this weekend. But if you want, I mean, feel free, people should feel free to go to Facebook and just put in this little search box, Guild of Others. It should pop up. And okay. The same with like the website, although there's not much happening. There's like just a bio and a couple photos on the website right now. We haven't launched it yet.
Gotcha. Cool. All right, man. Well, it's been great catching up with you, and thanks for this new music. We hope the Talking Metal listeners will check it out. It is definitely going to appeal to a lot of the listeners out there. So yeah, all the best to you, Tom, and please keep us posted on everything.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's good talking to you.
Good talking with you.
Take care.
Big thanks to Tom Wallace and Tommy Crash for joining us here on the Talking Metal Podcast. I'll talk to you next week, guys. Have a great one.